It's good to be saved. Thank God for both the messages. Especially appreciate both the men that preached. And I hate to say it like this, but I don't know other way, especially Brother Raines. Him and his dad have had a great impact on my family and our life. And I still live what he taught us in Sunday school at the Old Pleasant View Baptist Church. And his daddy, he's my hero. I love Preacher Raines. He's been a blessing and an encouragement to me down through the years, been a real friend. And there's probably any time I don't preach that I don't quote him some words along the line. And I love the man of God, and I appreciate the preaching. So let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And for those of you that are still awake, we'll have one more message this morning. Amen. Thank God. And I sit back here and I say, Lord, let something happen where I don't preach. Most of the time I'm chomping at the bits, but when you get some of the men that's out there looking up here at me, and man, they could preach circles around me, I'd have to take a back seat to all of you. So, but maybe the Holy Spirit reminded me, said, just be yourself. I can't beat nobody else. I tried it and it don't work, praise God. I tried being one fella, and amen, I lost a bunch of meetings trying to be like him when I was a young man, and I thought I got a kick out of it for a while, and I realized, John, you fool. You got to be, and if I called his name, it'd probably grieve a Holy Ghost, amen. Some of y'all hate him so much, but anyhow, it's okay, all right. I'm going to preach the text, right? Acts chapter number 11. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege it is to be here. It is an honor. Acts chapter number 11. I'm going to read more scripture than some of you have read in a month, but if I do that, would you please bear with me in a lengthy portion of Bible reading, all right? The Bible said in Acts 26, and when he found him, he brought, in Acts 11, verse 26, and when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Watch this. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Father, help me this morning. Bless these people. Breathe on this place. Thank you for Brother Lockhart, Mother Raines, what they mean to us. Thank God for the Word of God. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to preach the Word of God with power. Lord, not that I could be seen or necessarily heard, but that you could be glorified. Thank you for Pastor Sexton and this wonderful church. I pray you'd bring revival on them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, I told you I was going to read more Bible than some of you may have read them up. But if that's the case, dear God, would you fall back in love with your Bible and get back to reading the Word of God? I want to pray. I like that phrase in our text. The Bible said they were called Christians at first in Antioch. I want to preach on this simple subject this morning. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Maybe I tell you, what we're calling Christianity in our day, it does not line up with the Bible. Thank God I ain't talking about this new stuff. I'm talking about old time Holy Ghost Christianity. People that love God and that walk with God and that know something about Christ. Now, I'm not going to labor it, Brother Harvey, but I tell you what Christianity is. It's Christ. It's all about Jesus. Godliness is God. And spirituality is the Spirit. And the definition of Christianity is Christ. Thank God, I love the song we sang this morning. More about Jesus, I would know. Thank God, teach me, take me to school, take me to Calvary. Let me be a Christian in every true sense of the word. That brother phrase of the word Christian is mentioned three times in our Bible, but one time it's mentioned, Acts 26:28. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, and Christians are identified with soul winning. Don't let that term soul winning bother you. This bunch of easy prayerism crowd has perverted that term. Neighbor, I still believe an old time Christian ought to be knocking on doors, ought to be running buses, ought to be begging your family to get right with God, ought to be telling sinners that Jesus still saves. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And neighbor, the message of the cross is still that Christ saves. Amen. Sinful men. Amen. Amen. Christians are identified with soul winning. But then we move on to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 16. You don't have to turn there, but Christians are identified with suffering. I don't understand that all the time. But neighbor, I've watched some of my folks suffer, and the more they suffered, it seemed the better they liked it. And that's the way Jesus is unto his people. And sometimes we suffer. Neighbor, we don't know much about suffering. I mean, we'll have people talk bad about you. You'll have them run you down. But ain't none of us been nailed to a cross. Ain't none of us been beat with a cat of nine tails. Ain't none of us had the beard ripped out of our face. Ain't none of us suffered. Ain't nobody pulled us out of our house and asked us if we were Christians. Oh, no, oh, no. We've got it made in America. But suffering sometimes. And I'll say this about suffering, that I'm going to move on and preach a message. Amen. Sometimes that's God's way of getting the goody out of us. I don't like cancer. I don't like sickness. I don't like suffering. But, Lord, I tell you, the sweetest people I've ever met in my life are those that have had a hard time. Those that didn't let the battles get them bitter. Those that didn't let the battles get them bitter. Those that didn't let the strife and the conflict get them bitter. But they got on their knees somewhere with God. And they said, Lord, I know this hurts. But if you'll help me get out of this, something that make me more like Christ and be a Christian, then suffering will do us good. Amen. Hasten along. Amen. Boy, Christians are identified in soul winning and suffering. But in our text, man, we could study the spirit of a Christian. Amen. And on and on. But let me give you my message, right? And I'm going to take it for granted that you should know Acts chapter number 11. And those of us that are Bible students ought to have read this Bible enough that when we read it, we're going to know what's on the next page before we ever get there. Can I get an amen? Oh yes. So I'm going to take it for granted you know what's going on in this chapter. Can I do that? I'm going to, whether you let me or not. Amen. I'd rather be an old time Christian. Number one, because they've heard from heaven and it's all right now. You know the beginning of this chapter. You know that Peter has had a dream, and you know that heaven has came down in that dream, and God's put some animals in front of him, and God said, Peter, I want you to just rise, slay and eat. And old Peter said, not so, Lord. I ain't never eaten nothing like that. I'm going to tell you what God's doing for Peter here. He said, it's okay, have a pork chop. Everything's going to be all right. You know what? And here goes Peter. He's rehearsing it. What he's going to say before he gets to the brethren. How in the world am I ever going to tell the brethren that God told me to do that? Why, man, he's rehearsing it. If that had been us, we'd have sugared it up real good. We'd have walked up in the church. We'd have probably had a pack of pork chops under one arm and tenderloin under the other. And so, our brethren, heaven came down and God said, it's all right. Thank God for the times when God's let us pray. And I'm not going to labor it, but God's teaching Peter when he heard from heaven that which to accept and that which to reject. And neighbor, you ain't going to shake a man that God is all orders when he's on his knees talking to God, and God said what was not right, and God said what was right. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. They've heard from heaven. Amen. Thank God. I don't know what in the world we'd do, Brother Art, if we couldn't pray. I don't know what we'd do if I couldn't get on my knees and call on God. I don't know what in the world. I'm only 40 years old. Some of you way down the road, a whole lot further than I am. Oh, but great God, thank God for the prayer closet. Amen. Have I ever told y'all about the first prayer God ever answered for me? It went a little like this. Dear Jesus, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Would you save me by the grace of God? And neighbor, he did. He saved me. I'll never get over that night when the blood fell. And when I knelt and the blood fell, and I went home and I said, Mama, I got saved tonight. She said, are you drunk? I said, no, I'm born again. Just poured it out. Amen. I ain't going back. Ain't been back. Don't want to go back. I'm saved. So how come you get so excited about it? Hey, God, my lamb forever. I'm going to ask you a question. How come you don't get so excited about it? That bothers me more. Somebody sit on a Baptist church for you, saved by the grace of God, and don't never get excited about it. Amen. Deadhead. Look like them old preacher brother Rain said, you ain't got to look like you was born on the backside of the moon in crab apple season. Baptized in vinegar, eating sarbrows, briars like an old Arkansas mule, and act like your mama-law just moved him. We've got something to shout about. And by the way, that's in the Bible. Say amen right there. I just heard from heaven and it's all right now. Amen. Hey God, I'd love to preach on that. Prayer's answered. Heaven came now. Amen. Praying your way through the battlefield. Praying your way through the strife. Amen. Boy, that's a, and I'm not going to labor that chapter 5 through 10. But then next day, God's dealing with Peter. And God goes straight to the heart of the matter. Amen. He deals with his appetite. He deals with his hunger. And I'd rather be an old time Christian for what they hunger for. Amen. They ain't hungry for the world. They ain't hungry for the flesh. They ain't hungry for this newfangled mess. They're hungry for Jesus and Jesus alone. The Bible still says, they that thirst and hunger after righteousness shall be filled. And I ask you this morning, are you hungry for popularity? Are you hungry for prestige? Are you hungry for a name? Or are you hungry for Christ? I like getting around that crowd, Brother Trent, that when you get around them, all they talk about is Jesus. All they care about is Jesus. All they want to do is be in His presence. All they want is His breath. All they want is His power. How hungry are you for God this morning? Do you remember when you went to bed thinking about Him? When you woke up thinking about Him? When that's all you talked about all day long was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When you went to bed reading the Bible. When you woke up in the middle of the night reading the Bible. When you went to bed praying. When you woke up praying, when you couldn't get enough of the Word of God, that you felt like you was going to die if you didn't get a verse. Amen. I remember when I first was converted to Christ, how hungry my poor soul was. I'd never experienced nothing like that in my life. Never knew love, brother, like that. Never knew it. Oh, did something happen to me, Pastor Sexton? Hey, man, I fell in love with the King James Bible, and I got me one of them Gideon New Testaments. And man, I put it in my back pocket, and I'd carry it everywhere I go. And boy, I'd get up, and if I come to a stoplight, I'd open it up and read till somebody started blowing the horn behind me. Hey, man, I didn't care to sit through a red light reading the Word of God. We'd go in the break room, and boy, and I learned how to put my earplugs in my ears. Hey, man, I wouldn't. All them other fellas is telling dirty jokes, cussing God. I'm a reading the Word of God. No pats on my back. I don't know how hungry you got. I got pretty hungry for it. Hey, man, and I'm still thirsty for the Word of God. Hey, man, I tell you what'll do us good is to sit down on a Saturday sometime and read our Bible. Hey, man, all day long. I'm not going to tell you what I do and what I don't do. But if you ever sit down and say, Lord, I ain't getting up unless I just have to until I have read all 150 chapters of the book of Psalms. Have you ever sit down and say, all right, Lord, I ain't got nothing to do today, just me and you. I'm going to see if I can make it through the whole New Testament in one day. Said, Brother Morgan, you're crazy. Well, my old preacher brother Rain said it like this. He said, I may have holes in my buckets and I might not retain everything that comes through there, but at least I'll have a clean bucket. Say amen. I'm talking about being hungry for prayer. I'm talking about being, I can't wait to get to your secret place. Hey, man, got you a rock pile out in the woods and you're so thirsty for God and you're so hungry for God that you turn your plate upside down, brother, and you go get with God and nothing else matters. I'd rather be an old-time Christian because of what they're hungry for. Amen. They're hungry for the real deal. They're hungry for God. I remember several years ago, me and Elizabeth Ann, my wife, just gave birth to twins. And before I got married, I believed, and if you believe this, don't get upset at me. Before I got married, I believe you ought to have all you can. I mean, just have 50 of them. And then I had a first child, I still believed it. I did. But when God gives them twins, I changed my doctrine, okay? Is that all right with y'all? It better be. God give us two at one time on the last time. Say amen. But I'm moving on. Well, I'm in revival meeting in Mississippi. God showed up, even in Mississippi. And I had my little daughter, Elizabeth Ann. Stacy had bit house with the twins, just had them. Miss Frazier, you remember how cute? She's still pretty. All get out. You remember how cute she was? Had little blue eyes, blonde hair. And boy, she's daddy's girl, still is. Glory to God. She turned 13. I'm about to die. Amen. But I got down there, brother, and I pulled up right to the doors of the hotel. And I said, now Liz, you stay right here in this seat. I ain't going to be 10 feet away from you. And I said, just stay right here. Don't go nowhere. I'll be able to see you. I locked the doors. That's before you had them keyless things. I locked the door, got the keys in my hands. I in the morning got out of the truck, got through them sliding glass doors, and awful screaming and awful crying you ever heard in your life. Man, I went running. I got the door unlocked. Brother Sexton, all them little tears was shooting out of her eyes. And that little blonde-headed girl done go up out of that car seat, and she grabbed me around my neck, and I couldn't hardly breathe. And when I finally got her calmed down, and I said, what in the world's wrong with you, honey? What's a problem? Did somebody mess with you? She said, no, daddy. Did somebody scare you? No, daddy. I said, what in the world are you crying for, girl? You're scaring me to death. And with them tears still running down her face, she said, I'm just crying for you, daddy. Oh, God in heaven. Man, I tell you, when I got in the hotel room that night, the Holy Ghost said, why don't you cry for me every once in a while like that? Oh, God. I mean, we cried loud and say, Father, I'm over here, and God, would you come to where we're at? Neighbor, I'd rather be one of them, because what they're hungry for. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, because they've heard from heaven, because what they're hungry for. But in verse number 12, the Bible said, the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubt. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit all through this chapter. Number three, and I may not get past this one. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, because they know something about the Holy Ghost. You can't overemphasize the working of the Holy Ghost of God. So, Brother Morgan, that's all you're preaching on. Well, come hear me tomorrow, and I may be preaching on Jesus a whole service, okay? And, Lord, how we need the Holy Ghost. How we need Holy Ghost prayer meetings. How we need Holy Ghost men. How we need Holy Ghost women. How we need Holy Ghost preaching. How we need Holy Ghost children. How we need the Holy Ghost to get everything we need. I was praying this morning on the altar, and I asked God. I said, some way, somehow, would you let somebody break the alabaster box this morning, and we could sense the sweet fragrance of worship in our presence. Somehow, some way, just like that Song of Solomon, her beloved came and put his hand on the door, and boy, she could smell and sense it had been there, that the sweet Holy Ghost of God had breathed on us and brooded over us, overshadow us, every emblem of the Spirit of God, the fire of God would fall, the dew of heaven would come, the river of God had run through this place, the dove of heaven would fly and settle down in our midst. Oh, we need the Holy Ghost in everything we do. We need him in our singing, our preaching, our praying, our praise. Thank God we need him in our church services. The missing element in what we call Christianity today is the Holy Ghost. He ain't going to make you speak in tongues. He ain't going to cause you to have no charismatic visions. Oh, he'll help you love your brethren. He'll help you love your wife. Hey, when you get torqued up, he'll calm you down. Hey, man, when you get ticked off, he'll put you back in. Say amen right there. Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, dear God, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, where would we be this morning? I like what one old preacher said one time. He said, Brother John, if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost, I'd have never met you. And, brother, let's be honest. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ, amen, we wouldn't be in this place this morning. We'd still be on our way to hell. Oh, but one day when the Spirit of God came to where we was and convicted us and pricked our hearts, amen, and we cried out to God, and he converted us, amen, hallelujah, he abides. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to be can I use the word jerk talking about myself? I don't want to be that way, but I'm just going to tell it like it is. I could care less, as long as I know the Holy Ghost of God is abiding on the inside. If every one of you stood up and said, John, I believe you're lost, Christ, I wouldn't even have to take half a baby aspirin to go to sleep tonight, because you're too late. I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know. Hey, man, boy, he abides in us. So I don't think y'all getting this like you ought to. Hey, it ought to remind us that God the Holy Ghost is living on the inside. Me? Yeah, you. You're saved. He's in there. You got power that you don't know nothing about. I mean, we got more resources, more commentaries, more access to all this stuff. And I believe we're living in the weakest generation that I've ever seen in my life. I get tired. I love to hear the old stories of how men walk in, had so much God on them. Hey, amen. They never did even make it to the pulpit, and people were getting saved before they even had church. I tell you where them days is gone. They left out when men and women quit calling on God. They left out when hair began to grow back on their knees. They left out when men started. I'm going to tell you, Brother Sammy Allen told me, and I believe it with all my heart. He said, "Job." He said, and this is what he told me. He said, "John the Baptist." That's what he called me. I'm not John the Baptist. I'm John A. Baptist, okay? But he said, "Old John," he said, "the secret to the spirit-filled life is you spend more time with God than you do anybody else." Y'all might not run it down like I do. I can't preach it like you live it, so can I preach it like I live it, Pastor? I had a little struggle going on in my heart here a few weeks ago. Don't ask me what it was. I ain't going to tell you. I told the Lord. And I went into my secret place, brother, in a basement, in a bathroom, and I said, "God, I ain't a coming out till you take it off of me. I ain't a coming out. You give me peace. I ain't coming out till you touch me." It took a while. It took a long while. But I finally got up in there where his ass. Well, y'all know why some of y'all looking at me like that? I mean, I got a booger hanging out of my nose or something. You know why some of y'all looking at me like that? Because you ain't living it anymore. I ain't trying to be moody or rude or just reprove you. I'm just telling you, the missing element in our lives is a Holy Spirit life. Stay with him! He'll come. There's one thing about God. I'm going to get sidetracked. Is that okay, Pastor? One thing about walking with God, sometimes he's going to let you think you're all by yourself. You ever been there? So you're going to throw your hands up in there and say, "God, where in the world are you at? Lord, would you make my hair stand up, do something? Dear God, I need to breathe on the back of my do something. Let me know you're there." And right on time every time! He'll manifest himself to you exactly when you need. So you know what we do when we can't find him and we can't track him really like we would ought to and like we wish we could? Just stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him! I got a little sidetracked there. Is that okay with y'all? Holy Ghost men, Holy Ghost leadership. Holy Ghost assurance of leadership. I mean, God's going to tell us things sometimes that we're going to question him right when he tells us. I'm in revival meeting in Arkansas. I hate to use so many personal illustrations, but I don't do like a preacher said, "Smartest one, my God." I'm in revival meeting in Arkansas, and the Holy Ghost says, "You see that blonde-headed girl sitting over there eating lunch?" I said, "Yes, Lord." And I said, "Lord, I also see that feller sitting in front of her that's twice the size as I am, and it looks like he got a tackle blowed up in his tackle box blowed up in his face, earrings in his nose, tattooed all up." And the Holy Ghost told me, said, "John, go over there and ask her, what's a saved girl doing with a lost boy?" I said, "Lord, are you sure about that?" He said, "Do it!" I wrestled that thing and I wrestled that thing, and finally I was having to walk out the door. I said, "Preacher, I'll meet y'all out the car. God told me to do something." I'm over at that little blonde-headed girl. I said, "Young lady, here's your gospel tract." And she looked at me, and I could tell by the look in her face she knew better. And I looked at her and I said, "Young lady, I don't know if you know God or what." And I said, "Sir, I'm not trying to offend you." I said, "But the Holy Ghost told me to tell you something. And I've got a mind, God." And she said, "Okay." And I said, I'm a Baptist preacher." And she said, "What is it, preacher?" And I said, "God wants to know what's a saved girl doing with a lost boy." And that little girl broke down and began to cry right there at her dinner table. She said, "You're the second stranger that has walked up to me and asked me that question. She came and heard me preach that night. Now, I don't know what she ever did with it. She told me she's going to go break it off with him. You better mind, God. You hear me? I'm talking about this thing's life and death situation. You better mind him. You better do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it and how he tells you to do it. It'll pay off! People make fun of you anymore for minding God. People laugh at you. God tells you to go to the altar while the preacher's preaching. God tells you to do it. He'll honor it with his touch and with his witness. Preacher's scared to death of preaching what God tells him to do. I struggle, man. I did, dear. Praise God. I mean, this one right here, brethren, I'd love to have preached it to you. Man, that would impress the brethren. Let them know I've been studying and praying and walking with God. God said, get up, preach that simple little text and that simple little outline, and maybe so it don't matter to me. It's a whole, boys, you need to be spirit filled. David got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, God told Samuel, you go anoint the next king. And God anointed him. And I'm not necessarily asking you when you got saved. I'm asking you, have you ever been filled with the Spirit of God? And one of the worst rebukes you could give me after church today would be to come to me and say, now, John, you preach on being Spirit-filled. Are you Spirit-filled? If you have to ask me if I'm Spirit-filled, it's obvious I'm not. And if somebody has to question you whether you're Spirit-filled, you're not. And if you go around patting yourself on the back and tooting your own horn, you're not! I'd rather be an old-time Christian because they know something about the Holy Ghost. Boy, wish I had time to go through the New Testament Bible and preach on every Holy Ghost conversion in the Bible. As our dear brother said this morning, sometimes the experience is different, but the birth is the same. Amen. There may have been an earthquake going on when you got saved. The wind may have been blowing when you got saved. Amen. You may have got thrown toward the flames of hell when you got saved, but the Holy Ghost was in every bit of it. Holy Ghost conversion. But then I'd rather be an old-time Christian because they rejoice over what they hear. And then I'd rather be an old-time Christian because when they hurt, it brings revival. Chapter number 11, our text. Now, verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon persecution that arose about Stephen. It talks about the Word of God being preached. When they hurt, it brings revival. Persecution comes, it brings revival. When the hard time comes, whether we realize it or not, it brings revival. And on a personal note to all of us, our fiery trials, the trial of our faith, and I wished as a 40-year-old man, I wish to God I could tell you I've already had the trial of my faith. But sometimes I'm fearful that I haven't. Again, I must refer to Brother Raines. He said, John, I believe God will give everybody that's really going to walk with God that one, the trial of your faith. But Peter said, if needs be. Paul's in prison writing the book of Philippians. He said, hey, many of the brethren are waxing confident by my bonds. It's something we all need to know. When you're hurt, when you're suffering, when you're being persecuted, if you ever do, if you ever, maybe it might not be persecution, it may be bad news, it may be you got news from the doctor, whatever the case, the hurt, the pain, the broken heart, just remember there's people watching everything you do. Paul said, many of the brethren waxing confident by my bonds. What Paul's saying in Philippians 1, brother, he's saying that them guys are getting revived because of my hurt. That crowd's getting fired up because of my pain. They're getting liberated because of my bonds. Neighbor, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what situation it is in your life. People are watching us no matter what we go through. And if nobody else is watching you, your children's watching you. Your grandchildren's watching you. It ain't always easy to keep your mouth shut. It ain't always easy to be quiet, is it? But if you want your children to do right, they can watch you and your wife go through hard times as a Christian. Then when they go through it in their life, when they grow up and they get married. And so I remember when Mom and Daddy went through the same thing. What did they do? Oh, they gathered around the coffee table in the living room. They opened up their Bible and they claimed the promises of God, and they prayed and they wept and they stayed with God. Even when they didn't feel like it. There'll be times like the psalmist in Psalms 42. He asked himself the question, why art thou disquieted within me? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He gets down there about five or six verses, makes that statement. Brother Fraser, he closes the chapter out asking, what in the world? Why art thou cast down? He never did figure out what was wrong with him in that chapter. Have you ever been troubled and didn't know what it was? Do you know what he did? He said, I went with them that kept holy day. I went with them with a voice of joy and praise. He said, I just got around the crowd that had it and stayed with them. That's message number 14 this morning, okay? You'll have to do that. Hey, you're going to help somebody with your hurt. I've been through the funeral lines and watched them. How in the world could you smile at all this pain going on in your life? It's just the grace of God strengthened, settled my heart. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, because when they hurt, it brings revival. I'd rather be an old-time Christian hurriedly because the hand of the Lord was on them. Well, if I could sing, and if I tried, y'all'd die. I would have to call EMS. But if I could sing, I'd sing that old song, The Unseen Hand, that guides me through this weary land. I'll tell you, we're going to get on the other side one day, and we're going to boil all the worries, all the questions, Brother Lockhart, we've got. We'll see just exactly how much God's unseen hand was guiding us and leading us. Even when we didn't understand what was going on, that God, even when we made a mess out of things, that God, my beloved friend, was able by His unseen hand to get us to where we needed to be. Just easing right along. Like the children at the Christmas play. Don't fall out with me. I like Christmas plays. And my favorite part of a Christmas play is when they got the curtain up. Now, I said don't fall out with me. Are y'all with me? I mean, I got 20 minutes right there, but I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. I might would, praise God. But as they got the curtain up, and I don't like children getting whipped, but I can't help but laugh when one of them gets behind the curtains and, man, they got to get the little pride or a little smart alecky knocked out. You can hear a mama dragging that youngin' through there. Boom, I told you I'm going to get dumb to you. Then your daddy's going, and they don't realize everybody can hear what's going on behind the scenes. And you got little kids, you got them back there wearing their little angel's wings. And man, they got their little white things on the board. You can see it bumping and the curtain bumping. You can hear it all. And you're sitting there, what in the world is going on? I wonder what it's going to be about this year. Is it going to be the same old Joseph and the shepherd scenes and Mary holding a baby Jesus? Or are they going to do something different? 9 times out of 10, it's the same thing. Hey, that's fine. Them little old, they make an announcement, they open up the curtains, Brother Fraser, and there they are. All them cute little children that sit there, got their wings on, crooked, can't memorize their lines, nothing like that. And you finally sit and say, well, it's what we've been waiting on to see. And that's the way it is in the Christian life most of the time. We spend a lot of time, I guess, concerning God's will and God's way. Sometimes God just don't show it all to us at one time. Does He, Brother Beard? Does He keep a lot of it hid just till we need it? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing today. You might not know what's going on in your life, but God knows what's going on in your life. You don't know. I see you precious missionaries sitting here on these pews, and you've been on your field and in your church, and man, y'all ain't got church like you got it back home. You know they don't. I've been to your churches. I've preached in them, and they don't sing like we do back here, and you miss that, boy. But you want what? I'm telling you, God's doing something. Amen. I'm going to be an old-time Christian because they know something about the hand of God being with them. I'm going to be an old-time Christian. Verse number 23, you don't have to read it, because they got heart. I mean, they got heart. I am so sick of this heartless generation. I'm sick of heartless Sunday school teachers. I'm sick of heartless preachers, heartless pastors, heartless evangelists, heartless missionaries. Our heart ought to be in what we do. I talk about having twins. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Rebecca to have Esau and Jacob? Oh, it wouldn't have been good for me to have been in that operating room. I tell you right now, because when they'd have brought that hairy little red baby out, I'd have said, what in the world is that? Is that a baby or a pet? Say amen right there. You know that's funny. You can laugh. But you know what they had to do? They had to love that baby no matter what it looked like. You're going to have to love your minister no matter what it looks like. We're going to have to put our heart in what God's got us to do no matter what it looks like. If it's on, love it. What about when it ain't on? What about when it's kind of down? What about if it's all the way down? What about if you don't want to get up and preach? Don't look at me like you ain't never been there. What about when you go to church? Your heart's been so hurt and so broken. Lord, I don't know how to... And you're praying, God, let it break out. So I ain't got to preach. I guess you elder brethren say amen to me right there. I hope I ain't the only one. Then you get up and you get in the pulpit and you pray and God will stir your heart up. And before that thing's over with, man, you done got out up in yonder somewhere you ain't never been in your preaching. Because you kept your heart. You better keep your heart in your marriage. Man, he ain't always going to be smelling good and have his hair combed and his brushed teeth brushed just right and all that. And you get married, man, them girls is dolled up and all purtied up and got a little makeup on. And I'm not against makeup, I'm against cake-up. And if you're against makeup, please don't fuss with me after church. Okay, I mean, just there's another one. All right, well, bag it all, boy, then you wake up. Son, her breath stinks so bad it'd make a freight train take a dirt road, buddy. His breath stinks, man, the hair. You say, who in the world have I married? It's for better, for you better keep your heart in it. No matter how bad the situation is. How many men have got their heart out of their marriage and it's gone? If they'd have just kept their heart in it. If they'd have just found some, boy, that is one of the hardest things to do that I believe sometimes is to keep your heart in what it needs to be. Man, I'll tell you, the devil's got so many distractions. He'd get us so unfocused, get us side. But I mean, the devil ain't even got a try with most of us. Was it six verses? Six verses, if my memory serves me right, Brother Shepherd. Six verses and the devil had Eve. Six, he didn't even have to try. Six verses and it's over with. Now I wonder if it's that way with us. I wonder, boy, we ought to fortify our families with prayer and fasting. Keep our heart. If your heart's in what you're doing, it'll be evidenced when you do it. You can get bitter. But then lastly, and I'm done this morning, Pastor. I hope I've been a blessing. I'd rather be an old-time Christian because they like to help the brethren. They like to help the brethren. Come to the end of this chapter, and one of them stands up, prophesies, there's going to be a dearth, there's going to be a famine, and they have a meeting there, and boy, it's all right, let's send Paul and Barnabas. Let's ease this crowd over there and help them out. They like to help the brethren. Boy, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. Help them in a bad harvest. Take it for what it's worth. There's too much hurt between the brethren going on. There's too much fussing, too much fighting. Let's just all be honest. We've all been involved in a little bit of it somewhere along the line, have we not? That we shouldn't have been. Lord, to be there for the brethren. Lord, to love the brethren. Or to take care of the brethren. You might not need me, but I need you. I close with this illustration. Two old boys went to school together. They courted high school sweethearts together. That's why I want to be an old-time Christian, because I love to help people. You just don't leave the brethren in the ditch. Makes no matter what they've done. You got to put them back in the pulpit, do you? You don't have to leave them in the ditch. I have to put them back in the Sunday school class teaching. You don't leave them in the ditch. See, that's the kind of Christianity that us some of us proud, arrogant kind of folk have left off. Can I get an amen? Two old boys there in high school. It gets quiet when you get right down in there, but it's the truth. Two old boys, they go to the war together. They got to go to the buddy system. They had a buddy system, I think it was World War II. Same town, same school. They go to the army. They train together. They get stationed together one night. They're in the trenches somewhere around Germany. And they didn't go out during the day because you're just too visible. So what they'd do, they'd wait till the nighttime, and they would ease on out through yonder and try to ambush their enemies. Well, they got in a heated battle one night, and a sergeant hollered retreat back to the trenches. They went running back to the trenches. One of the boys got shot of the two buddies. The old boy that made it back looked at the sergeant and said, "Hey, where's my buddy? Where's my buddy?" He said, "Son, he got shot in the chest. He was still living when I left, but he'll be dead. We can't afford it. We had to leave him there. He'll be dead." That old boy sat there and he said, "Man, I can't take this. I can't take it." He said, "Can I go get him?" He said, "No, he'll be dead. You're going to risk a chance of getting your own life killed." And he said, "Sit still." And you know what that boy did? He couldn't take it. He disobeyed orders. He jumped up out of that trench and he went until he found his buddy. Got his buddy on his shoulders. And the time he got back, Brother Trent had blood running down his back, blood running down the front of him, blood running down his neck. And when he got back to the trench and he laid his buddy down there, he had died on his shoulders. Died! The old sergeant began to chew him out and fuss at him and said, "Son, was it worth it?" He said, "Yeah, it was." That sergeant looked at him and said, "But he died. Why was it worth risking your own life?" And he said, "Because his last words were this, 'I knew you'd come. I knew you'd be here. I knew you'd come to where I was at.'" I asked this question today, neighbor. Where's the loyalty gone amongst the brethren? I'm talking about loyalty amongst those of us that claim to be old-time Christians. Looking for a reason to push somebody off. Looking for a reason to get rid of them. Looking for a reason to back away. That's as unchristlike and ungodly as anything in the Bible. Just well say amen right there. So, Pastor, I'm done. We're standing all over the building. There's my short, simple little subject on I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Thank you, Pastor.
One more verse of the song. This morning, the Lord spoke to your heart. Would you be honest enough to do business with Him? Well, I'll tell you what, let's just sing with Brother Bud this morning.